Gentlemen and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, on a Fireball, Hot Take Friday, on a Wednesday, as we celebrate the 4th of July, Independence Day tomorrow. We're off Friday, and I'm not one to sit here and tell you, you know, about vacation or anything like that, because we got tons of great programming, but I'll be off until basically the start training game. So, I mean, we got 1 hour down to go. Now, I want to start with this, which is apparently the money in Vegas, not the money that they were supposed to pay Jonathan Marchessault, so, but the money in Las Vegas for betting on the Predators has absolutely skyrocketed this week. This is according to ESPN.com. Quote, the Preds saw the most line movement of any team in the league at ESPN Bet, moving from 35-1 to 18-1 to win the Stanley Cup. DraftKings reports identical movement, while FanDuel moved from 31-1 to 20-1. DraftKings also took the Predators from 17-1 to plus 900 to win the Western Conference. The thrilling additions of Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, and Brady Shea, among others, has the Predators as one of the most popular teams with the betting public. DraftKings says that since June 30th, Nashville has taken 35% of the bets and 76% of the handle to win the conference. However, ESPN writes, there was one team that took more bets, 42% to win the West over the same time period, and that is the reigning Western Conference champion Edmonton Oilers, who solidified what is likely to be the best offense in the NHL by re-signing Adam Henrik, Matthias Janmark, and Corey Perry, then bolstered it by adding Jeff Skinner and Victor Arvidsson. Did Corey Perry, Ian, even play for them down the stretch?
Yeah, he made a couple of, I think he was in and out of the lineup during the final stretch and in the cup final. I think he was in and out a few times.
Didn't notice him. Those transactions, ESPN writes, moved them from 10-1 at their opening odds to plus 900 on Tuesday morning on ESPN Bet, tying them with Florida to win it all. Edmonton became the outright favorites at plus 800 a short time later. The sportsbook also notes that their odds of winning the Pacific Division have shortened as well. But for the big winners in the betting odds after the first day of NHL free agency, there were also a few losers. The 2023 Cup champion Vegas Golden Knights went from 11-1 to 18-1. I think that's really all around one move, right, Marchessault? That the betting market was anticipating Marchessault would be in Vegas, and he's not, and it goes from 11-1 to 18-1 in the Carolina Hurricanes, who were favored to win it all at the start of the playoffs. Really? Were favored to win it all at the start of the playoffs, moved up to plus 950, or moved from plus 950 to 14-1 to hoist the cup in 2025, according to FanDuel. So that's what they're saying is happening as far as the odds are concerned. So I saw Edmonton as the team to win it all, and I really thought, really? Edmonton to win it all? And then I thought, well, where do the Predators sit in all of this? Well, let's take the Eastern Conference out of this. Because, again, Edmonton just barely passed Florida as far as the betting market is concerned. Let's take the Eastern Conference out of this. Let's just focus on the West. And this morning I sat down and I looked at all the rosters of all the moves that have been made, and I said to myself, where do the Nashville Predators sit? And then I thought I'd make a top five list of the Western Conference, which ended up being a top six list because these are the teams that I think are legitimate contenders in the Western Conference. So, Ian, if you would, let's start at the very, very top. This is Jared's Western Conference rankings after free agency.
Number one.
Dallas. A lot of people are going to have Edmonton number one. Not me. I'm going with the Dallas Stars. They have so many good players. I mean, they traded Radek Foxa the other day, and I was like, God, I wish he was on the Predators. So many good players. Jason Robertson, Roope Hintz, Miro Heiskanen, all good players in their prime. Good, young, in their prime players. That's the driving force behind Dallas. But then they've got some good old pawpaws too. Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, even Duchesne with what they ask him to do. You know, they ask him to bat seventh in the lineup, not third or fourth. Duchesne actually is a good fit for what they're looking to do. Then they got young players too. Wyatt Johnston, Logan Stankoven, You know, those guys kind of made their additions this year to the lineup. And then at the very end, I believe it was Game 7 of the Western Conference Final, they stuck Maverick Bork in there, who was their first-round pick in 2020. He was the leading scorer and MVP of the AHL. And I said to myself, imagine if the Predators had the MVP of the AHL. They'd never shut up about it. And so they got good young players. They've got good old players. They've got good players in their prime. And they've got a good goaltender in Jake Oettinger. Peter DeBoer's a good coach. Dallas, I think, quite frankly, I think Dallas would be my favorite to win it all right now. I think they're the top team in the NHL. I think they are solid top to bottom. Dallas is number one in the West.
Number two.
Nashville. I'm putting the Predators number two. The Predators lack a true number one center. Ryan O'Reilly, at this point in his career, is not a true number one center. That's it. They have a core of six really, really good skaters. 340 goal scorers. Brady Shea can either anchor the second pair or team up with Roman Josi, as Andrew Burnett alluded to on the show on Monday, to combine, you know, to put together this just absolute shutdown pair. They should have an excellent power play with the top power play coach in the NHL coaching it. They have high-end goaltending with UC Saros, who finished fifth in the Vezina finalist voting, you know, whatever, Vezina voting, finished fifth, and he didn't even have a good season this year. And they've got a bunch of young players knocking on the door, one or two of whom they need to break through. LaRue, Schaefer, Svechkov, you name it, Stastny, Evangelista's already graduated. He's in the group. I think, again, outside of the number one center position, the Predators are, without a doubt, loaded everywhere, and I've got them as the number two team in the Western Conference.
Number three.
Edmonton. And I know you're going to say, wait a minute, Jared, you talk about Edmonton all the time. You said going into the playoffs, this is the one team you did not want to play. You say every time you watch them against the Predators, they win 8-0, and that is true. But Edmonton's starting to get a little top-heavy. Now, Jeff Skinner is going to help, because outside of McDavid and Draisaitl and Ekholm and Bouchard and Hyman, although, you know, Hyman, I think he's a real estate player, they're not that good. And Jeff Skinner will get a second wind. You know, now that he's gotten bought out a crap-ass Buffalo, he'll get a second wind being on a team, you know, worth a crap. And Hyman will have at least 40 next year, because that's where, you know, he is. But they added Victor Arvidsson. And I'm just not an Arvidsson fan at this point in his career, especially in the playoffs, where, as Floyd used to always say about Arvidsson, when the big good guys play hard, they always beat the little good guys. And that's what Arvidsson is. I would not have signed Arvidsson if I were them, so that does not move the needle for me. And while I like their defense, again, with Bouchard and Ekholm, Stuart Skinner is not UC Saros, and he is not Jake Oettinger. And so while he was okay down the stretch in the playoffs, you know, Edmonton just basically kept possession of the puck, and they just, you know, 14 shots on net. But Stuart Skinner was fine. He's not an elite goalie. He's not going to be an elite goalie. And now there's a lot of pressure on Edmonton. And we also should note, Edmonton is being run by Jeff Jackson, who is Connor McDavid's agent. He has been named the team president. He is running the team. Kenny Holland, the general manager, they did not renew his contract. He got fired. I guess Game 7 of the Cup Finals not good enough. Kenny Holland got fired. I am not a believer in Edmonton next year. Even though I love McDavid, I have them third. I think that they're getting a little too top-heavy, and I don't like their management.
Number four.
Vegas. Yes, Marchessault and Chandler Stephenson are gone. And apparently, even though I never heard of Chandler Stephenson, apparently he's pretty good because he got 7 years and 6.25, so, you know, whatever. They have no goaltending. Aiden Hill and Samsonov. But Jack Eichel, Thomas Hertl, Mark Stone, Noah Hanifin, even the corpse of Alex Pietrangelo, They do also have that shady cap circumvention skills that they love to bring out all the time. In fact, Jonathan Marchessault said on the morning show to Adam today, he said, yeah, they wanted me to take deferred payments. So clearly Vegas is, you know, they use the LTIR to screw with the cap. Now they're using deferred payments. They're the Dodgers. They're the Dodgers of the Western Conference, but they got a lot of holes. And that's what happens when you go for it every year and you don't have draft picks and you're not replenishing within, is there are going to be holes when guys leave. And they've got holes. So with Vegas, I think Bruce Cassidy is a great coach, but they're lacking in net, and they don't have Marchessault anymore, and they don't have Chandler Stephenson anymore, and they still got some good players, but I have to knock them down a peg. I just don't see Vegas as a cup contender right now.
Number five,
Vancouver. So I look at Vancouver and what they did. I feel like they just went to Boston and just traded, you know, Elias Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov for Heinen, DeBrusk, and Derek Forbert. And I don't think any of those guys are great, though. I do have a soft spot for DeBrusk. Like, I would have liked DeBrusk on the Predators, but I think he's also the kind of player that pisses you off as much as you love him. But the thing about Vancouver is they got some pop. Now, they showed us that in the playoff series by beating you, and I think beating you rather handedly, with a backup goalie. They didn't do much as far as free agency is concerned, though they did add Kiefer Sherwood to go with all those Boston guys they added. But that was a really good team last year. They'll be a year older. I cannot imagine that Elias Pettersson is going to have as bad of a playoffs as he had this past year. Plus, Thatcher Demko, healthy, is one of the best goalies in the league. I do like Vancouver. I do not think that all the winning they did early in the season this past year, I don't think that's a fluke. I'll go Vancouver at five. So I had to include a sixth team. Because there's one team I'm sure you've been waiting for that I have not put into the equation. Number six.
Number six.
Colorado. And you're going to... Colorado's sixth in the Western Conference? The Avalanche? I think they're sixth. Here's the deal with Colorado. MacKinnon and Makar are as good at what they do as anybody in the game today. That includes McDavid, that includes Matthews, that includes the MVP of the league is Nathan MacKinnon. Cale Makar, in my opinion, is the best defenseman in the league. He's better than Josi. Josi's two. But outside of that, their entire team is unimpressive to me. Landeskog is hurt, and I'm not sure he'll ever be healthy again. Gorgiev, the goalie, kind of sucks. And you look at their lines, and it's a bunch of nobodies and disappointments. Congratulations, you re-signed Jonathan Drouin. Way to go. Guy hadn't been good in 6 years. Now, I know that they'll make some moves like they did last year when they got rid of Johansson and they added Walker and they added Casey Mittelstadt. And they'll make some moves. And I'm not counting out MacKinnon or Makar. But outside of those two, it's not a very good team. And I think the big problem they have is they've got the issue with Landeskog and his health, and they've got the issue with Val Nichushkin. And I don't know how that's going to resolve itself, but I don't think that's going to resolve itself with him being on the team. So I've got Colorado at six. Dallas one, Nashville two, Edmonton three, Vegas four, Vancouver five, Colorado six, and I don't think anybody else is capable of winning the Western Conference. And I did not, when I went out to do this, I did not start this exercise by thinking I'm going to put the Predators at two. But I had to. 615-737-1025, your reaction. Are the Predators worthy of being my second top team behind Dallas in the Western Conference? 615-737-1025, and we'll hit the YouTube chat. 615-737-1025. Plus, the one thing I was surprised that I did actually care about when I did this exercise that I've complained about almost all year. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Let's talk about UC Saros. The game changes sometimes, and you don't notice it changes for a couple of years, and then you sort of have to reinvent yourself a little bit or adjust a little bit to where the game is. So I think Mitch is the best in the business with Ben Vanderklok and Jason, and we still have Pekka Rennie. I think our goaltending is in great shape for the future. Saros is one of those elite athletes that is iconic like Pex is. I mean, and so when you have those guys, it's hard to let them go because of what they mean to the franchise and how they play on the ice. And then having, a guy like Askarov, who is a tremendous talent.
There you go. That was Barry Trotz talking about the Predators' goaltending. And the reason I played that cut is because I just ranked the Western Conference as of right now, in which the Predators' betting odds are absolutely skyrocketing across the place. I have ranked the Western Conference. Dallas 1, Nashville 2, Edmonton 3, Vegas 4, Vancouver 5, and Colorado 6. And I want to address this before Willie Donick texts me about it. I know Willie's doing something right now and he's not listening, because had Willie heard that segment, Ian, he would have texted both of us.
Yeah, they were on Zoom today. I think he was in Atlanta. I think his son has a baseball situation.
Ah.
I think it was Atlanta. I could be wrong on the city, but.
Aha. Mm-hmm. Well, when you said he was in Atlanta, I was thinking it might be a Bally Sports something or another, and I'm like.
No, I think it's for his son.
I hope this is the last month that Bally Sports is alive, by the way. I want everybody to know that. They've got a hearing on July 29th in bankruptcy court. Judge Lopez, if you are listening, and I have lost all, I want everybody to know that I have lost about 90% of my faith in the judicial system. But Judge Lopez, if you are listening to local Nashville sports radio, please get rid of Bally Sports. Not because I'm a conservative or a progressive and I feel a certain way and I want you to vote with my side. It's I want you to get rid of this channel so I can watch your games on regular TV. Does anybody object? Thank you. But I digress on that. Because if Willie was listening to my power rankings, again, Dallas number 1, Nashville number 2, Edmonton 3, Vegas 4, Vancouver 5, and Colorado 6, he would have said, how could you rank teams the way you ranked them? You went through each team, you used the explanations that you had, and in most cases, teams that have good goaltending got bumped up. Dallas number 1, good goaltending. Nashville number 2, good goaltending. What was one of my knocks on Edmonton? Edmonton right now is the betting favorite to win the cup next year. One of my big knocks was they don't have very good goaltending. And so if you don't have good goaltending, it's going to be a little bit of a knock. Vancouver at 5 gets a little bit of a bump because Vancouver's got Thatcher Demko, and Thatcher Demko didn't play in the playoffs, and Thatcher Demko right now is the second best goalie in the league. And so it hit me when I did this list, when I was writing down, and I literally looked at all the rosters. Because originally, I had Colorado at 5 and didn't have Vegas in the top 5. And I was like, wait a minute. Vegas is absolutely a top 5 team. And I did not want to throw Colorado completely out of it, because with McKinnon and McCart, I could see them winning the cup. And so I don't want to sit here and say that they can't do it. But again, one of my knocks on Colorado, goaltending. One of my knocks on Vegas, goaltending. So it's not the end-all be-all, but I do think goaltending means something. And this year, Florida, very good team. Whether it's Tkachuk or Barkov or Reinhardt or Verhaeghe or Bennett or all those guys. By the way, did you see the guy that was picked one pick after Askarov today? Anton Liddell signed like a 5-year, $6 million per contract extension. It's their third line center. Be nice to have on this team centering that second line with Stamkos and Marchessault instead of Askarov, but I digress. But for somebody who has constantly bemoaned goaltending, because Vegas has won the cup without goaltending, because Colorado's won the cup without goaltending, because outside of when he did play well in the series, Bobrovsky was not that good. I was a little surprised at how much, when push came to shove, I stuck my foot down and said, goaltending, and felt like it mattered to me. So I'm just a little surprised by that. Even though I'm not a goaltending guy, and I'm not a total believer in the Soros contract, I mean, I still think you have to have a goalie. Like, if I had a choice of having a goalie or not having a goalie, I would take the goalie. Ian, what are your thoughts on my list? I told you, because you said you thought it was a hot take, and it is a Fireball Hot Take Friday today. You thought it was a hot take that I had the Predators too. Where do you put the Predators on the list?
And now, is this the list of your Western Conference Cup contenders? Like, how you feel the best chance to win the Cup, or how you think the standings might kind of shape up?
Western Conference contention.
Western Conference contention. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I will. I mean, I thought the list overall was pretty good. You know, I do wonder if there's like a dark horse team in here somewhere that we're kind of forgetting.
I thought about that, but I can't assume that today.
Yeah, looking through it, you know, no one really stands out. The Kings don't really stand out as a dark horse team. Perhaps Winnipeg. They had a good regular season. They had 110 points in the regular season, and they haven't really lost anybody other than Monahan, and he was just a trade acquisition at the deadline. So they still have, you know, Kyle Connor and Scheifele and Hellebuck and all those guys and Ehlers. But I will go, if I had to rank these six, I would probably go Edmonton 1.
Of course you would.
Dallas 2. Vegas 3. Colorado 4. Nashville 5. Vancouver 6.
I mean, Colorado?
Oh, yeah. They've been there, done that.
And but they don't have any players anymore.
They don't have Cale Makar or Nathan MacKinnon?
They have two players.
Or Remax Rantanen?
Nah, I'm not a Rantanen guy. And Rantanen will sign for a gazillion dollars. I know. But I'm not a Rantanen guy.
So, I mean, those guys can carry them.
Can they do that without Nichushkin or Landeskog?
Maybe.
I don't like everybody that's going to put Edmonton first. That is such a recency bias thing. I mean, Dallas
and
Edmonton.
They made it far the year before.
Dallas and Edmonton were neck and neck, and Dallas has better goaltending.
And Edmonton still made it further this year.
They did, but
there's something funky with Dallas. Dallas is getting, it's got some older players. Pavelski's not going to be able to put up the same numbers. He's kind of dropping off. Ben had like a super good season. I don't think he'll do as much. I mean, they still have a couple of the younger players in Stankoven and Wyatt Johnston, who's pretty good.
Maverick Bork.
So those guys maybe might take a step up. But Duchesne, is he going to be able to, you know, there's something weird with Dallas that I trust them more in the regular season. You know, Vegas has been still has Stone and Eichel and all those guys, and their experience will take them far in the playoffs.
And they'll do something at the deadline. They'll end up with
They'll add somebody. And so Edmonton's proven that they're can make a deep playoff run multiple seasons in a row, so they'll still be fighting for a spot in the Western Conference final, I'd assume. So I'll go Edmonton, Dallas, Vegas. Maybe you can convince me Nashville over Colorado, but they still have the best two players in MacKinnon and Makar, so I'll put Colorado 4th, Nashville 5th, Vancouver 6th.
So here's what I would say about Dallas, that maybe Wyatt Johnston is the answer to for them. You have 340 goal scorers on your team. They had, I think, 5 guys or 6 guys that scored 20 this past year. They don't have a single guy that scored 40. And it's that's where I look at it come playoff time, where I'm like, can they really rely on Roope Hintz?
Yeah, Hintz and Robertson kind of took a step back for them in the playoffs. But, I mean, they have got, I mean, Wyatt Johnston had 32, Roope Hintz had 30, and as you said, Duchesne had 25, Jamie Benn had 21, Robertson had 29, so almost 30. Pavelski still had 27. He was 39 years old. I don't see that really continuing. But, you know, and they still got Mason Marchment, who's kind of youngish, who's not terrible. I don't know. Dallas is still good. Whether or not they'll be able to step it up in the playoffs will be another question, but
I'm standing with Dallas at number one, but your talk about Dallas is actually making me think about putting the Predators up to number one.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, again, all the Predators lack right now is a number one center, and I ran the numbers yesterday, And again, goal differential is not everything, but it is something. I mean, I think goal differential is a pretty good indicator of if you're good or not.
It's just hard to project with the Preds since we haven't seen this group together before.
And they're old, so they could get worse.
And so, yeah, there could be a little bit of a...
But just using goal differential, last year the Predators were plus 21, which is not contender status. You know, plus 50, plus 60, that's contender status. You take away Kiefer Sherwood's 10, Yakov Trenin's 10, Jason Zucker's 5, Ryan McDonough's 3, and then 4 guys scored, including some guy named Fujimo, who went back to L.A. He scored once, and a couple other guys scored once. So you take those goals out, and then you add Marchessault, Shea, and Stamkos, and it goes from plus 21 to plus 84.
And those guys do know how to win in the playoffs.
And they know how to win in the playoffs.
So does Forsberg. So does Yossi.
I'm not worried about, you know, whether or not Stamkos is going to score on the power play when he had 19 goals last year. So your talk about Dallas is actually making me wonder if Nashville should be number one. I am not putting Edmonton with Stuart Skinner and net. I am not putting them number one. Even though they made it once. Everybody can make it once. Everybody can win the conference once.
The year before, too.
You made it far, you know, with Rene and that team. I don't look at as, when I really look back on it, as magical as that run was, that team was not a championship caliber team. We'll get your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Plus, Barry Trotz is all in. He's all in on his serial winners. He talked about it the day he got hired. And damn it, if that man has not been all in on it since he's had the job. But does that actually matter? We'll get to that next. Let's talk Window Nation first. It is hot out there. Heat index is going to be up over 100 degrees over the holiday weekend. And if you've got inefficient windows, they're not going to be taking a break from being inefficient. No, they will stay inefficient. And that means high utility bills all year long. My friends at Window Nation, and I really trust them. I had them out to my home. And I said, show me what windows I need to replace. And they went through my home and said, your windows are fine. You don't need to replace them. I was shocked. But it made me really believe in Window Nation and the honesty that they really, truly preach. Window Nation sells some of the most energy-efficient windows. And right now, for every 2 windows you'll buy, you'll get 2 windows for free, plus 0 down and no interest or payments for 2 years. So stop paying more than you have to. Schedule an in-home estimate right now at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Again, for every 2 windows you'll buy, you'll get 2 windows free plus 0 down and no interest or payments for 2 years. That's 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. How much does winning in the past mean to you for, A, those same players winning in the future with this team right now, but also what it means for Evangelista, what it means for this whole plethora of young guys that have been brewing, whether it's Kimmel or LaRue or Svechkov or Schaefer or whomever. I mean, how big was that winning to you as the coach?
Well, I think you could see the effect it had at our organization this year and our young kids and the Evangelistas and the Novaks and the Lozons and the Cars, like to be around Ryan O'Reilly, you know, Ryan McDonough, guys that Luke Shen that comes in, guys that have won, and they're you know, as Barry will call them, serial winners. You can't have enough of them. And I think organizationally, culturally, that is imperative. And I've seen it firsthand with our group from watching how they mesh with Ryan O'Reilly and these guys, and watching them grow as not just hockey players, but leaders. I mean, we're getting lucky here. We've got a, you know, obviously we got a great first tier. We got a secondary tier, and some of our young guys are learning, and they're falling that third tier. So you can't have enough of them, I think, as an organization. And we're blessed, and you get Stamkos and Marchessault that come in that have won. Brady Shea's been an outstanding team his whole career. So to have those guys come in, we're just going to, you know, our young guys are sponges off them. And again, back to the identity and who we are, I think they'll come in and fit in real good.
That was Andrew Burnett on our program, and I asked, you know, Barry Trotz took the job. And the day he took the job, remember, it was kind of a passing of the torch. David Poile had a press conference, and they thanked David for everything, and then Barry was kind of standing off the side. It was almost like wrestling, you know, and then Barry came walking out, and Barry talked about his vision for the future and everything else. And I was driving back after the press conference, and I was listening to Barry, who was on the air with Chase at the time. And Barry was talking about serial winners. And he was like, because we had talked about all the guys that they were trying to move at that point in time, like Ekholm and Granlin and Janot and Niederreiter. And he said, you know, Ryan McDonough has put me out in the playoffs twice in back-to-back years in Tampa. I'm not moving that guy. That guy is a serial winner, and we need more guys like that. And I remember hearing that and being like, well, he's not moving McDonough. And then when Barry had his first opportunity to practice what he preached, he went out and he signed Ryan O'Reilly. And once he signed Ryan O'Reilly and he signed Luke Shen, and all Luke, the only thing Luke Shen has on his resume right now that says this guy needs to be on defense in the NHL is that he's won the cup in the past. But when he signed O'Reilly, who is the definition of a gets more out of his talent than maybe any player in this era of the NHL. I really mean that. You know, when we look back at the guys who have hoisted the cup over their heads and have been the reason that their team has done so, there are going to be two guys that kind of stand out as, you know, that guy willed his team. O'Reilly and Marchessault. And they both play for you. Normally, the guy who wins the Conn Smythe is Connor McDavid. Sidney Crosby. O'Reilly's not that guy. So O'Reilly is the definition of a winner at heart. He's just got everything he does. He wins. You want to be around him. Everything's positive. Everything's... And so the question has to be asked. As the Predators went out and they added two guys that have won three cups. And Stamkos and Marchessault. And Brady Shea is no bum. By any stretch of the imagination. But as Barry Trotz did that, with these guys in their 30s, again, by the time that these deals are up, Jonathan Marchessault will be 38, Steven Stamkos will be 37, Roman Josi will be 38, Brady Shea will be 37, UC Saros will be 37, Philip Forsberg will be 35. The question has to be, do you really believe that the winning mentality of Ryan O'Reilly, of Steven Stamkos, of Jonathan Marchessault, will that be transferred via osmosis to Luke Evangelista, to Matthew Wood, to Joakim Kimmel, to Yaroslav Askarov, to Tanner Mullendijk? They're betting yes. That the tone setter, the culture setter, that will have a lasting impact. I buy it. I actually believe that it will. I actually believe that there is something to this. First off, I'm so glad that we're not looking at players whose behavior or their underperformance or whatever we have to excuse. It's not like they're so desperate for a playmaker that they signed a guy who's got a history of domestic violence. And we have to talk about that. It's not like they're so desperate for a guy that they took a guy that, you know, nobody wants to be around. They say he's a bad locker room guy. They say he's a... Those I hate. Even the guys like Duchesne, where Adam Vingan's saying, guys, the stats do not add up. I know everybody thinks that Duchesne's a big boy forward. I know he's made an all-star team. I know David Poile loves him. But the stats do not add up. He is not that player. We're not saying that about Stamkos because we know it's not true. The only thing with Stamkos is he's old. But there has to be a hope that as you build with young dudes, that winning attitude ends up rubbing off on the young players. And I actually think that this is a real thing. I think there is something to working with somebody that you grew up idolizing. I've never worked with Colin Cowherd, but I was a big Colin Cowherd fan even before I got into talk radio. Once I got into talk radio, I wanted to be Colin Cowherd. Now, I know there are differences between Colin and I. I'm not sitting here making analogies to when you went to the shopping market. I'm not talking about LeBron's brand. But I looked up to Colin Cowherd a lot. When the guy that hired Colin Cowherd to ESPN, who was originally his program director in Portland, Oregon, when he picked me out of Louisville, Kentucky, there was definitely a jolt of electricity that got me excited. When these guys go to work with Steven Stamkos every day, there's going to be a certain level of excitement, a certain level of, hey, I want to be like that guy. I want to match that guy's level of professionalism that I think does matter. And the only experience I have of kind of watching a dynasty day in and day out were the 90s and 2000s Atlanta Braves. They won 14 straight division titles. They were the worst team in baseball in 1990, and they had a bunch of good young prospects. They had guys that were knocking on the door right there, John Smoltz and Tom Glavin and Ron Gant and David Justice. They had other guys on the way, like Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones. And what did they do when John Scherholz got there, the general manager that won all those division titles? Brought in Terry Pendleton and Charlie Liebrandt. Winners. The analytics and the gurus and the number guys, I don't think they have a spreadsheet that talks about having the right culture and the right dressing room and the right attitude and everything else. But your organization's not run by the analytics department. You're not going to have, Barry Trotz is not going to get in front of the microphone the way Kelly McCrimmon did this week when explaining why they didn't re-sign Jonathan Marchessault and said the data does not back it up for 5 years. Barry Trotz ain't going to do that because at his core, he's a coach. And as we've gotten more analytical and as we've gotten more nerdy in sports, the more I'm convinced that the traditional this is how to do it actually works. And I'm not saying there's not a place for analytics. And the Predators have an analytics department. And Barry comes on the show during the year and he's like, yeah, the analytics department says blah, blah, blah. But it's only a tool to help. It is not how you build your team. I think the way Barry wants to build this team, I actually think it's going to work. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 through the game. Very rarely on this program do we opine on matters of the NBA. In fact, most of our NBA discussions are just about how crappy the NBA has become. There's no way around that. So yesterday, Dalton Connect held his introductory press conference with the Los Angeles Lakers, except for the fact that nobody was really interested in talking to Dalton. Nobody, didn't even see a quote that had anything to do with Dalton Connect. But the reality is, when it comes to Dalton Connect, that what everybody is actually talking about is Bronny James. That's what everybody wants to talk about. Old Bronny. Old Bronny James. That's the number one thing. And apparently the Lakers, I don't know if you guys listened last week when the Lakers selected Bronny while we were on the air, and I had a full-blown meltdown. But what's amazing to me when it comes to the Los Angeles Lakers is just how transparent all of this has been. LeBron was a free agent. They wanted to keep LeBron because LeBron James is LeBron James. They wanted to keep LeBron James. LeBron was a free agent. And so what did they do in order to keep LeBron? They acquiesced to every wish. They fired the coach, and they hired his podcast buddy. And when everybody said, you did this because you're trying to appease LeBron James, they said, no, that's not true. ESPN's Dave McMenamin reported that it was actually Anthony Davis that they talked to and not LeBron when it came to the decision to hire J.J. Redick. The guy who had no coaching experience and was LeBron's podcast buddy, they talked to Anthony Davis. Right. Then they drafted Bronny in the second round. Bob Myers, who's a former GM, was on the desk at ESPN. I would think that old Bob Myers has some pretty good sources. Bob Myers' sources told him that Rich Paul, the agent for Bronny James, who owns that Clutch Sports with LeBron, was telling every team, do not draft Bronny or else he's going to go to Australia. Not that anybody probably wants to draft Bronny because Bronny sucks, but don't do it. And what bothered me more than anything was not the fact that Bronny didn't you know, get drafted by these other teams. What bothered me is the reason the other teams didn't draft Bronny is not because they were afraid he would go to Australia. Bronny didn't get drafted because, well, I mean, again, I'm trying to be completely honest with everybody here. They were afraid of the wrath of the agency that has all these great NBA players if they defied LeBron's wishes to play with his son. Then the Lakers drafted him. Then they gave an absurd contract. The guy who had the same pick last year signed for like $600,000 and was a two-way contract. Bronny's got a four-year guaranteed contract. And J.J. Redick had the audacity to get up in front of everybody and basically say, Bronny earned this. Can I just tell you something? As somebody who does not care about the Lakers, the NBA, Bronny James, I don't care about any of it. I really don't. Can I just say, though, what I don't like is I don't like the idea of insulting everybody's intelligence all the time, which is exactly what that is. That is insulting to sit there and say that we, the mighty Los Angeles Lakers, decided that we were going to hire LeBron James podcast buddy, but we really didn't actually mean it that. In fact, we really did it because we think he's a great coach. I'm not stupid enough to believe that, and I don't think anybody else is either. If I had to be completely honest with you, I'm not that stupid. It's insulting when you just lie to people like that, and it is unbecoming of the brand. That's it for us. Everybody have a safe and a wonderful Independence Day weekend, Independence Day, you name it. I want to thank all of the brave men and women that have fought for our country, that defend the freedoms that we have here in America. I want to thank you for your hard work and for your dedication and support and everything else. We could not have this country. Even though we've got our problems, we could not have this country without you. I am off until about training camp. So we will see you then. We got great programming on the way. Stillman and Company, we'll see everybody. 102.5, have a great weekend. 102.5, 106 through the game.